Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Stitch Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show, I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bet.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Around the world once again. This is Carson's Corner, and I am your host, Bob Carson. It has been a while since I've been with you folks. I think the last MMA show that we did here was probably with Lee Rimitos, maybe in December. I'm not sure. And then before that, we had JT Taylor. We had Jesse Taylor on, JT Money. It's been a while. And a lot of people have been wondering where the show is. I've gotten a lot of people messaging me, trying to find out what is going on with Carson's Corner. Let me just tell you where the delay has been and why the delay has been. Basically, I don't know what's going on with my producer. I haven't heard from him. I don't know if he's still with the show or... If not, he was upset. I posted something on the Underground, a post, and the thread got removed. And then we posted another thread about our interview with Dirk Ballard, the owner, or one of the owners of the MMA community. And that thread got like over 160 responses, mainly positive. And ever since then, I haven't heard from my producer. And so I don't know what's going on. I mean, lately, honestly, over the last several years, it's been me that has been lining up the guests. It's been me that's been promoting the show. It's been me that's kind of doing all the lifting here. And my producer would help me out with interviews. And he does great research for interviews, but they're very long. They're like an hour-long interviews. And to be honest with you, nobody wants to listen to that long of an interview. It's just the reality. And so I just don't know what's going on with him. I hope that he continues or wants to continue with the show. He's removed all mention of me from his Twitter account. So I don't know. And you know what? The show must go on, as they say. You know, I've taken it upon myself to promote the show and do all the heavy lifting in addition to everything I got going on in my life. And so, you know, if somebody doesn't want to be a part of the show or somebody doesn't like a post on the Underground forum, that's fine. you know, there's nothing I could do about it. So that was a little bit of the reason for the delay. It's just been really, really, difficult. Work schedule too. I've been working for the last 6 months or so, and that has really taken up a lot of my time. Don't forget, too, folks, I'm still going to school. All right, I'm still going to school, and I'm working towards a doctorate, and if you could believe that, and all the while I'm getting fatter and fatter too, folks. That's a big part of it too. Just getting fatter and fatter, older and fatter, and tireder, if that's a word. No, it's not. But you get the point. You know what I'm saying here, folks. It's not easy. It's not easy to do a show every week or so about a sport that's really failing now. Now there's no doubt that the sport is really, really in the decline. It's really, really bad. And we're going to get into that a little later on. Even my good friend Eddie Goldman, I don't even think he covers mixed martial arts anymore. Actually, he does far and few between. He covered the ONE Fighting Championship, the recent ONE Fighting Championship, and he was also on the press conference call for that. But other than that, you know, Bellator is just not worth it anymore. And Bellator and certainly the UFC is in another category. Tonight, we may or may not be hearing from our good friend Shannon the Cannon Rich. I reached out to him, and I may shoot him a text in a little while. He's got a fight coming up, I want to say, on June 9th, okay? I don't know what promotion he's fighting for, but I want to hear from him. It's been a while. It's been probably 2 or 3 years since we had Shannon on the show, and he's always been a friend of the program, and he's always someone that we've rooted for because he's a good guy, and he's been a friend of mine for 10 years, Shannon the Cannon Rich, and he's a good guy to have as your friend in this business, folks. He definitely is. He's well-known, internationally known, has God knows how many fights. Shannon probably has close to 200 fights now, okay? He's fought in Pride. I believe he's fought in Pancrase. He has not fought in Bellator or the UFC or Strikeforce, but I know that, you know, as of a few years ago, it was his goal to get into Bellator. And that's something that I've really tried to help him with, you know, trying to contact some people over there. Why is it that we don't see Shannon Rich in Bellator? I mean, you have fighters in Bellator that have one professional fight, you know, and two whatever. They could definitely use Shannon, especially if they want to hold shows in Arizona or California. I'm sure that a lot of people would want to see that, and I hope that Shannon does get the opportunity to fight in Bellator. We'll ask him about that if we speak to him later on in the program. So he may call in here. And going forward, I plan on trying to do the show each week, getting guests. Like I said, I've been getting guests, you know, pretty much for the past 2 or 3 years. Actually, probably about 4 or 5 years. It's just been me, you know, and previous years, my producer would help get guests, and so we could get a lot of guests, but that burden has fallen on me, and it's kind of difficult doing everything, you know, but if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. I think the MMA media, the MMA landscape needs shows like this. They need people like me who aren't subservient to any promotions out there, who aren't dependent on any promoters for their livelihood. And I'm telling you, that doesn't happen. You know, we have people that worship the UFC in their lives. And I could give you quotes from so-called mainstream major MMA media figures, which is just a joke, that have said that once this ship goes down, the UFC... we go down their show. So you get the idea that even, you know, despite how bad the UFC is doing, and, you know, if you said that, anybody that said that the UFC is doing really, really bad and the signs are not there, you know, the UFC is really, really struggling. Anybody that says that explicitly and candidly, you know, is going to be labeled a piece of crap by Dana White. He's going to be cursed out by Dana White. I heard, what's his name? My good friend Ryan Van Doom calls him the mermaid. Ariel Helwani on one of these shows, you know, last month or so, and he was talking about, you know, the UFC is not doing that well, so they're trying to attract mainstream names. They're trying to get Joshua, and they're trying to get Floyd Mayweather and whoever to, you know, fight for them so that they can, you know, attract a television deal and show people that, you know, they're still relevant and they're still in the game. But he was putting it so mildly and putting it so tepidly that, you know, the point gets sort of glossed over when it comes to transferring it to the audience. You know, I mean, yeah, the UFC is not doing well. There is no question about that. Their ratings are down. They're not able to – they haven't been able to secure a television deal, which is what – you know, if you remember last year, Dana White and the UFC brass, you had people like Brian Stann and others that were saying that the UFC was going to be all secured in a deal by, you know, December, even before that, and it hasn't happened. And it's not going to happen, at least not for the price that they wanted it to, because networks are bailing on the UFC. Fox Sports One, which has depended on the UFC for, you know, something like a third of its live programming, is now looking towards the WWE for a replacement. And so, you know, it is not looking good. And you look at the pay-per-views, and this is what the UFC is modeled on, is pay-per-views, pay-per-view sales, okay? That's it. Now, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but their highest grossing pay-per-views, you know, like four or five of them are with Conor McGregor. The third most highing highest pay-per-view last year was Holly Holm versus Cyborg, which is like somewhere in the neighborhood of 300,000 pay-per-view buys. Now, if a UFC pay-per-view gets 300,000, you know, pay-per-view buys, that's considered good, you know. Okay, yeah, Shannon Rich is going to call in a few minutes. We're going to get to him. That'll be great. Yeah, he's teaching a class at a little later on, and he's going to call in, and it'll be nice to talk to him for a few minutes. I only wanted to talk to him for a few minutes anyway. So the UFC, you know, is in a position now where if they get a pay-per-view that sells over 300,000, that's considered a good number for them. You know, I remember UFC 214. UFC 214 got somewhere around 800,000 buys, which wasn't a lot, but it was a lot for, you know, the current state of the UFC. And that pay-per-view was only about 7 months ago. I was there. I went all the way out to California for that. So, you know, you get the, you see what's happening here. It doesn't look good for the UFC. And, you know, the old adage is that, oh, you know, look, we had really, really bad years. I mean, we've had a bad year in 2015 and 2016, you know, turns out to be one of our best years. And then it's all cyclical. Well, look, 2017 wasn't a good year. Conor McGregor hasn't fought in over 500 days. Right, and then they start 2018, and now you got this pay-per-view coming up in 2018 that now, because of the withdrawal of Tony Ferguson, nobody's going to order this pay-per-view now. Or the numbers of this pay-per-view are going to be significantly impacted by the late replacement of Tony Ferguson. Now you've got, of course, Max Holloway fighting Khabib Nurmagomedov. Oh, God, Nurmagomedov. I'm sorry, I can never pronounce his name. And it's really going to take a hit because a lot of people were anticipating Tony defending his interim title against Khabib. This is a fight that was supposed to be made four times or three times prior, each guy pulling out now an equal amount of times. Was a fight that Khabib was favored in, but you know, nobody counted Tony out. I don't think anybody believed that Tony couldn't win this fight. And now you've got, what the hell? Speakers on mute. Oh, that's not good. And now you got, I'm sorry about that. My speaker was on mute there. Now you got Tony or Max Holloway stepping in on 6-day notice. Supposedly, he has to cut so much weight that his nutritionist, George Lockhart, has said that he is, this is the most significant weight cut that he's seen of a fighter. 6 days out against a guy that, you know, has been training and presumably has cut all his weight and is ready to go. Now, from my understanding, Max Holloway's camp tried to get this fight at 170. And they wanted it for a belt. Or no, they didn't want it for a belt. The UFC wanted this for the championship belt. And so the fight was pushed down to 155. And they asked the Holloway camp, could you make 155? Max Holloway said, yes, he can make 155. And boom, that's why we have the fight for the interim belt. But, you know, Max Holloway is really, really not favored to win this fight. This is really not going to be a good fight for him. He stands to lose a lot here. Now, if he wins or if he loses, he doesn't get stripped of his championship at 145. Okay? He still has that. And as you recall, Max Holloway was supposed to fight Brian Ortega, was it last month or the month before, and he had to pull out because of an injury. So he won't lose in that sense, but he could get beat up to a point where he doesn't recover, you know, psychologically, even though he's been on such a great win streak, that it could be a real loss for him in that sense as well, whereas he's not the same fighter afterwards. That would be pretty unfortunate for him and his division. And you've got Khabib, who, you know, stands to become the champion at 155 pounds. I'm glad that the UFC is stripping Conor and is stripping Tony Ferguson. I don't care that it's not fair to Tony Ferguson. I really don't. I mean, yeah, he got injured. He had to pull out. It was supposedly was a freak injury. I don't know. You know, it's just you shouldn't get injured this close to about, but who knows what happens. But you know what? I'm glad that the UFC made this decision because the interim championships, belts not being defended, championships not being defended, champions not fighting, you know, as often as the promotion wants, grandstanding, you know, selecting their opponents and not fighting, I think has hurt the UFC and has hurt their pay-per-view buys. You know, it used to be that, you know, guys would fight anywhere, anytime. You heard John Peretti on this program talk about Laverne Clark, who you know, fought with one of his toes like severed, nearly severed due to a lawnmower. He sustained a lawnmower accident. Lawnmower ran over his foot or something like that, and he had his foot mangled, and he didn't even show it to Pat Miletich because he wanted to fight, and he fought like that. And, you know, so many other stories of guys in the old days that would fight anybody. And now it's, you know, you see fighters that are selective and they're just not willing to go in there. And as a result, I think the UFC hurt their product ultimately. I really do. I mean, MMA is an unpredictable sport. The unpredictability of mixed martial arts. But, there has to be some sort of law and order when it comes to how the promotion deals with fighters. And that's very, very important. And so the UFC, they're frustrated that this belt, this interim belt can't be defended, and they're tired of Conor holding out, and they're tired of the divisions not running, and so they have to strip Conor and strip Ferguson. That's fine. I'm okay with that. I think that's actually a good move as a fan. I really do. And so once action gets underway in Brooklyn this Saturday, that will be, whoever wins this fight will be the champion of the lightweight division. And, certainly I think that's going to be Khabib. I really do. And then you've got Khabib winning. And the question is, what's next for him? Is it going to be Conor, or is it going to be Tony Ferguson? And obviously it has to be Conor McGregor. Anywhere, that would be great fight anywhere, particularly on the international scene. And if they're given enough opportunity, enough chances to promote that fight, that could be a huge fight as well. But the only question is how much is of it, or how many pay-per-view buys are they going to get with that? And at what point is Conor McGregor, going to peak, going to reach his prime, and that's it? He's 30 years old. He hasn't fought in a while, and we know that stars peak and then they fade out. That's just the nature of the business. That's just what happens. And everybody has an expiration date. And every year, every fight, they get, closer to that expiration date. I think that's the case with Conor. And so, the UFC, if they don't have Conor McGregor and they don't have enough fighters that are pay-per-view draws to really, really drive up the pay-per-view numbers, what's the future going to hold for them? And they're not replacing these stars, contrary to what the UFC shill media wants you to believe. That just because you've got fighters that are young and winning doesn't mean that they're pay-per-view stars. There's a difference between, creating stars and creating pay-per-view stars. Pay-per-view stars are the elite of the elite. Those are people that just have a natural ability to attract attention and make people curious, not only about their fight, but about their lives, about their personas, about everything. And I don't see the UFC being able to do that with really anybody. So this pay-per-view model may be in jeopardy in the future. I really, really think that. They don't have the Ronda Rouseys. They don't have the John Joneses. They're not going to have the Conor McGregors forever. And that's something I've been saying for quite some time now. And, this is what the UFC has been reduced to now. It's a circus act where the promoters are trying to go after the Floyd Mayweathers and the Brock Lesnars and the Anthony Joshuas to try to get that star power and just, you know, just try to maintain or start up some sort of momentum. And whether or not it's going to work, I don't know. But let's preview this fight card. I was going to go to this because Brooklyn is not that far from where I'm at. The tickets were reasonably priced about a year ago, or I'm sorry, a month ago. They were like $107, but I don't know where the tickets are now. I know that they're probably extremely expensive. You know, they're probably, God knows how much they are, $200-$300 for even the cheap seats there. You've got Khabib versus Holloway. And again, you know, this is a bad matchup for Max Holloway. It's great that he stepped up. It's great that, you know they're able to give us some fight. But, you know, considering the circumstances, considering this is a guy that just came off an injury, considering that this is a guy that has to cut a tremendous amount of weight, and he's still in the process of doing that. You know, you could see him in the sweatsuit in the gym now, and God knows, you know, what he's weighing now. If they wanted to have this fight at 170, you have to assume that Max Holloway was probably like 180 or 190, you know. Considering that, you know, considering he didn't have any type of training camp for this fight, all things considered, they probably maybe would have been better off having somebody else fight, you know, Khabib. Maybe a Paul Felder, who is fighting on this card, an Ally Quinta, which I'm interested in that fight, or a Dustin Poirier, or, you know, somebody else that's training and, you know, is in good shape, not coming off an injury, and, you know, maybe would be able to do well. I don't know. I'm not counting Max Holloway out. I mean, look, you know, it would be a great story. It'd be great if he could win against Khabib. But, you know, aside from an early knockout, it's going to be a really, really uphill battle for him, because he's fighting someone who is just really, really huge for that weight class. Max is big for that weight class too. You know, people, I think, don't realize he's, you know, as big as he is. But, you know, again, with all things considered, this is just really, really going to be a tough road for Max Holloway. And, you know, the question is he going to be able to take Holloway down? Is Khabib going to be able to get inside the punches of Max Holloway and take him down and then keep him down for a round as he does to everybody else? You know, Max Holloway has, I'm sure, a reach advantage. I'm sure he could keep Khabib, you know, at bay for a little while. But as we've seen, you know, with Khabib, he's able just to take anybody down and hold them down there. Not just hold them down there. I mean, you know, Khabib has the worst ground to pound that you could imagine. You know, he's just really, really frightening, usually when he's in his opponent's guard. I just don't think that Max will be able to knock him out, and Max will be able to really, really inflict fight-ending damage. Khabib takes a lot of shots, you know, and he has a good chin. You know, we saw that in the Michael Johnson fight. You know, he really can take a lot of shots, and he's a tough, tough guy. And he's a decent striker, Khabib. I don't think he's that bad. But that's not his game, obviously. He's not a striker. He's someone that, you know, is a grappler. And he's the best takedown artist, I think, in the game today. And he's going in there for a takedown to put pressure on Max Holloway, as he always does. He may eat a couple punches in the process, but he gets his fights down, and he fights exciting fights. He really does. So, you know, that's what we're going to see. We're most likely going to see, you know, multiple rounds of just ground and pound. I would say domination for Khabib and, you know, Max Holloway coming out on the short end of the stick there for five rounds. This is a five-round fight. And, you know, you got to wonder what type of shape Max Holloway is in going into this fight. Although Tony Ferguson has questioned Khabib's stamina. And, you know, there have been times, you know, when Khabib fought Edson Barboza. That was a three-round fight, and Khabib looked a little tired in the second or third round. You know, so the conditioning aspect of this fight is not exactly certain. You know, we don't know. I mean, you know, we would assume that Khabib is going to be able to go all five rounds at this blistering pace. He sounds really, really confident. He sounds really, really, quote, dialed in. But we don't know. You know, we really don't know what the weight cut has been like for him. And you just don't know until these guys get out there. So, but, you know, we could end up seeing him fade. We can end up seeing Max Holloway, the more conditioned fighter. Who knows? I don't know. But I think we're going to see Khabib win unanimous decision, either that or a late round stoppage. Next, you got the women's fight, the women's strawweight title fight. First, featuring Rose Namajunas versus Joanna Andrzejczyk. Now, their first fight was a real shocker. You recall, Rose looked like she was about to cry during the weigh-in stare down, and Joanna was really, really the heel in the lead up to that fight. I mean, she was making comments. I believe she was making comments about Rose's father, who was mentally ill. She was really trying to get inside of Rose's head. And, you know, we were like, okay, this is going to be a slaughter, you know, because at that time, you know, Rose didn't have a good record. Rose had like something like a 6-3 record. Yeah, I mean, she's fought great fighters in the strawweight division. She definitely, you know, is obviously an elite fighter, but, you know, she's 6-3. Joanna is just, you know, regarded as one of the best champions ever in the UFC, and this was a huge shocking upset that I really, really don't know, you know, what happened. I mean, I know that Joanna's coaches have discussed, you know, why this happened. They've broken down exactly, you know, why that happened, and Shayna Dobson and others have said that we're going to see Joanna back to her original form in this fight. I think that's going to be really, really key. But, you know, this could be one of these fights where, you know, one fighter has another fighter's number. You know, that's it. It's just, you know, if you put them against each other and the one fighter, because of their style, because of what they do during the course of this fight, they always win. And I don't know. I mean, I really, really don't know what to expect from this fight, because lately in the UFC, you know, particularly with women's fights and, you know, more or less with men's fights too, the rematches often, I would say probably majority of the time, the rematches are the same result as the first match, but maybe more definitively. You know, you recall when Amanda fought Valentina, and Amanda, won the decision. It was a very, very controversial decision in their first fight. I mean, not really controversial, but she was losing the fight, arguably, in the second half of the fight. And then they have the rematch, and then, you know, Amanda wins a more decisive decision over five rounds. And so that's something that we could see with this rematch. I don't know. I really, really don't know what to say. But it looks like Joanna's the favorite going into this fight, which, you know, you could draw from that whatever you want to. But I think that this could be a real, real toss-up here, okay? The next fight I'm interested in, I'm not interested in this Moicano Qatar fight. I'm interested in Michael Chiesa versus Anthony Pettis fight, because I think Anthony Pettis is really, really at the, I want to say, downswing of his career. I don't know how much he has left. He was great, you know, it was great when he beat Benson Henderson and he was the UFC lightweight champion. But for some reason or so, you know, he really has struggled over his last few fights. I believe it was his last fight he lost against Dustin Poirier, you know, which is obviously no thing, you know, it's no what am I going to say? I'm sorry. I'm just kind of in a loss. I'm doing multiple things here. I'm trying to, his last fight, he lost to Dustin Poirier via rib injury, but he was losing that fight. And he lost to Max Holloway the fight before his win against Jim Miller. And, you know, he's just, I guess it's a mixed bag with him. He's losing against the very best in the respective division he fights in. He's fought in multiple divisions. He's fought at catchweight. He's fought at featherweight. He's fought at lightweight. He's been kind of, you know, all over the map. But he's fighting a guy in Michael Chiesa who is really, really big for his weight class. You know, he's really, really big and tall for the lightweight division, and he's coming off of a very controversial loss to Kevin Lee. Now, you recall, this is a guy, Michael Chiesa, who's beaten James Vick. You know, it was fought at a very, very high weight in 170, beaten Justin Lawrence. His only he lost to Jorge Masvidal. He's lost to Joe Lauzon, and like I said, he had that controversial loss to Kevin Lee. But other than that, I mean, this is a guy who I think is could be championship material, and really is going to be a difficult fight for Anthony Pettis. Because Anthony Pettis, you know, he's got flashy stand-up. No question about it. He's got knockout power. But when it comes to the grappling, I would argue that he's the weaker grappler in this fight. And I think he's also the weaker striker, too. I think I would give, if I had to, I'd give Michael Chiesa the edge in striking. I mean, remember, this is a guy who is 6'1", okay? So he's very, very tall for that division. You've got Anthony Pettis, who, you know, is 5'10", and that's, I guess, decent height for that division. But, you know, height, I think, is going to play a factor in this fight. And I think it's really going to be an advantage for Michael Chiesa. I do. But that's a real fun fight to watch. The next fight I'm looking forward to is the Paul Felder versus Ayala Quinta fight. And that's taking place. That that's going to be on the main card, that fight. I'm going to go with Felder in that fight because Paul Felder, I've been listening to his interviews, and he's really, really training very hard for this fight. Real regimented training with Duke Rufus. He sounds like he's really, really on point, and he's going to be really, really precise with everything, precise with his striking, precise with his wrestling. His cardio is going to be very, very good, I think. And you just never know with Ally Aquinta. Ally Aquinta is unpredictable. He really is a very good fighter. His last fight knocking out Diego Sanchez. And this is a guy, Ally Aquinta, who, if I'm not mistaken, actually beat Kevin Lee. If you get past some of the, outspokenness of Al and some of his, which I like Al, I believe me, I like his rhetoric. And he beat Michael Chiesa. He lost. Yeah, he beat Al Aquinta did beat Kevin Lee. And he's beaten Jorge Masvidal. He's beaten Joe Lozano. I mean, he really has a very, very good record. But he's got other things going on outside the cage. He's got his real estate business or his real estate career. He's doing a lot of things, and you just don't know. I really, really don't know what's going to happen with this fight. But this is a fight that I think is really, really going to be intriguing because I think it's going to end in a knockout. I really do. Either Felder is going to win via knockout or Aquinta is going to win via knockout. I don't see this fight going to the decision. And it's anybody's guess. It's another pick'em fight. Let me see who... I wonder who is favored to win this fight. Again, not that that matters. I'm not a betting guy, okay? I don't even know what betting is. I couldn't tell you how to place a bet for crying out loud. And I lived in Vegas for a little while. I did. But I couldn't tell you anything. And MMA is like a betting sport for crying out loud. With Zuffa, with the UFC, Las Vegas, the casinos, station casinos, the Fertittas, Dana White, who's just an obscene gambler, right? I mean, probably more than any sport. I mean, if you had gambling in college football or NFL to the extent that it's in the UFC, then that would be a problem. You'd have people saying, what the hell? And, you'd have, there'd be crackdowns, major crackdowns, just my opinion. But, so this is a real intriguing fight. And it looks like Felder is the favorite here. Paul Felder is the favorite going into this lightweight bout. And this is really, really going to be a very, very interesting fight. And some of the other fights, like I said, the Moicano-Qatar fight, I'm not looking forward to. I don't really care who wins that or what happens with that. You may be able to bump Magomed Shapirov and Bosniak up to the main card. I don't know. I mean, you could do that, I think. Because that's a good fight if you want to showcase Magomed Shapirov. You also got a women's fight, Beck Rawlings versus Ashley Evans Smith. You can bump that up too, I think. So all in all, it's a decent card. Not the best card, but like I said, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna suffer as a result of Tony Ferguson pulling out of the fight. Tony Ferguson and his weird, unorthodox behavior. Did it contribute to his injury, I don't know. You know, I don't really know what to believe anymore. You know, with fighters pulling out and injuries, and I don't know. Nobody really knows. You know, you can get a fighter that claims anything. They claim that they hurt themselves by doing this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, it's whether or not the public believes them. Yeah, I don't know. But I know I was very disappointed. I know I wasn't surprised by this pullout, and I know I wanted to see some sort of punishment. And that's what Dana White and the UFC did, is they essentially punished Tony Ferguson for getting injured, and they punished Conor McGregor, you know, for not fighting. That's good, too. Like I said, you know, you got to keep these divisions moving, and you got to really, really make sure that champions are defending their belts and they're, you know, not dictating to the fight promotion when they fight. All right, you got Bellator 170 or 197 that takes place, and it looks like you got some interesting cats on this card. You've got Michael Chandler fighting Brandon Gertz. Now, Michael Chandler was supposed to fight Brett Primus, who I interviewed at Bellator 170 at the press conference, and that was where Brett Primus beat Michael Chandler via TKO. Chandler had that freak leg injury, and it was unfortunate, and they're not fighting. Primus pulled out. I forget why he said he pulled out. And Chandler is on the record as saying that he's not going to fight me. I don't think he's going to fight. He never fights this guy. He's probably just going to retire or be stripped with the belt. And I'm looking to move on, and I'm looking to fight. And so he's fighting Brandon Gertz. And, you know, he respects Brandon Gertz. And Gertz is a guy that comes to fight. He's very, very aggressive, and he's a game fighter. But Michael Chandler is expecting the victory, and I think I agree with her. I think Michael Chandler has always been one of the best fighters outside the UFC, and always been, you know, content to fight in Bellator and win championships. This is a guy who beat Eddie Alvarez. He's just a world-class fighter and competitor, and you know, he should definitely win this fight. And then we'll see. You know, he said he's not going to hunt Brent Primus down, but, you know, he does have hope that that fight will take place in the future so he can get back his belt and you know, move forward. But he's really, really on a tear, has been, Michael Chandler. You also have Baby Slice, who I'm not really interested in. I think he needs to develop more as a MMA fighter. But you got AJ McKee, who's definitely a hot prospect. AJ McKee, of course, is the son of Antonio McKee, who we've had on the show before, years ago, when he was fighting. I think he was fighting for the MFC. I don't recall what organization he was with when we had him, but he is definitely somebody that was a very, very good MMA fighter. And, yeah, it looks like AJ McKee is fighting the UFC veteran Justin Lawrence. And that's really it as far as you know, notable fights on this card. Besides the Chandler-Gertz fight. That's really it. I don't know if I'm going to actually watch this fight. I don't know if I'm off. I may watch it. Who knows? I may end up not seeing it. But in any event, I'll find out. You know, Bellator is all over the place with media credentials. The last time they were at Mohegan Sun, that was the Matt Mitrione, Roy Nelson fight. I tried to go to it. They said they didn't have available space. So you never know with them. You know, with me, it's hit or miss as to whether or not I could cover a Bellator event. So I really don't know. But you've also got later on this month the tournament, the heavyweight Grand Prix match between Frank Mir and Fedor. And I think, what is that? What date is that? I don't remember what date it is. But that is the last of the opening round. You've got Bader versus who's Bader fighting? Oh man! So you got Fedor versus Bader's fighting King Mo. That's right. This is not the last of the opening round matchups. You've got Bader that's fighting King Mo. And I don't know when that's probably coming up in May or maybe June. I'm not sure. But in any event, you've got Chael and Matt Mitrione that advanced to the quarterfinals. And it was very, very interesting. Matt Mitrione versus Roy Nelson. A lot of controversy after that fight. You know, a lot of words between those two and Roy Nelson, or Matt Mitrione calling Roy Nelson a scumbag and a cheater and saying he's arrogant. And I don't know. Like, I get the feeling that he is. I get the feeling that Matt Mitrione is right about this, that he just, Roy Nelson comes across a certain way. I don't know. He just really does. Maybe it's just me, but comes across as a jerk, a real jerk. And yeah, I have a bit of a personal bias against him. I've tried to get him for interviews. He's never once returned any of my texts. So screw him. But it's just the way he is. I don't know. Some people are just like that. Some people are, you just can't stand them. You know, they come across a certain way, and that's it. And Roy Nelson is one of those people. On the other hand, Matt Mitrione comes across as really nice. I actually interviewed him in person at Bellator 170, the media press conference, and it was really, really good. And we've interviewed him before on this program, and I know he's got to be a favorite. I believe at one point he was a favorite to win this tournament, and he probably still is, you know. Yeah, you've got Fedor versus Frank Mir. And who knows what's going to happen with Frank Mir, if he's going to be fat or if he's going to be in shape. Who knows? It's anybody's guess, but he should win. I mean, you know, he's closer to his prime than Fedor is. I mean, Fedor has been out of his prime for, you know, probably 10 years, ever since he lost to Verdum. Real quickly, we're going to go to our good friend Sharon the Cannon Rich here, who's called us. We are thankful that he is joining us here on Carson's Corner. Sharon, how are you, my friend?
Hey, what's going on, man? Just teaching class, training, getting ready for another traveling fight. That's what I do.
Yeah, I know. I was talking about this earlier. What are the details about your upcoming fight?
Which one? Because I just signed last night to go do a match in China, in Wenzhou, and then June 9th, I'm fighting bare knuckle boxing in London at the O2 Arena.
Wow. let's talk about the one that you just signed up for in China.
Okay, well,
who was... yeah, go ahead.
There was a promoter, well, not a promoter, but a booker a while back. His name was Simon Inoki. He's the one that booked me when I fought in Pride. Well, they're now doing shows in China. Simon Inoki is now in China doing shows over there, and just called me out of the blue and was like, hey, we know you fought Lu Wenbo last time. It was a great match. You pretty much won that fight, but the referee stopped it due to a cut that Lu Wenbo had, but they let him fix the cut during the break, and then they continued to fight, and he ended up winning the fight. It was bullshit, but they know it. So Simon and Nopi said, hey, you know, we'll give you another opportunity. Do you want to fight this guy, Lu Wenbo? I said, absolutely. So going out to China on the 11th, and the match is on the 14th. So, you know, it gives me a week, another week to train. I'm already in good shape. I've been training every day because I got this fight June 9th at the O2 Arena in London, bare knuckle boxing. So, yeah, I'm ready to go, man.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, now, Simon Inoki, is he related to Antonio Inoki?
Yeah, you know, it was, I think, through marriage. He took the Inoki last name because Simon was married to Antonio Inoki's daughter.
Oh, okay. I got you.
I believe that's how it went.
You're fighting, now, is this the same promotion that you fought Lou Winbo in, or is it a different promotion?
No, a different promotion. So, you know, honestly, I don't even know what the promotion is. I'm still waiting for the poster and all that. But, you know, I signed a contract and I got my airline ticket, so I'm ready to go.
Good. What weight is this, and do you know anything about who you're fighting?
In China?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lou Winbo. I'm rematching him. He's, I think he's
250. Oh, you're fighting him again?
250 pounds. Yeah, I get to fight him again. Rematch.
Oh, good. Yeah, because I saw the first fight, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
I kicked his ass the whole fight.
Been...
You know, I beat him up real good. So the referee, you know, they screwed me over there. But it's not going to happen this time. I know I got a good game plan for him.
Good. I'm glad that you're rematching him. Now, you're fighting in bare-knuckle boxing, you mentioned. This is really taking off in the UK. I can't begin to tell you. Yeah, a lot of MMA fighters are going over there and fighting. Tell us about your match and what you got going on over there.
Well, I'm fighting a young guy, Jack Draper. He's 20 years old. You know, I'm 47. I'll be 48 here this year. But, you know, I still feel like I'm in my prime. 25-2 with 25 wins by knockout in bare-knuckle boxing. Haven't had a bare-knuckle boxing match in almost 10 years. So it feels good to get back to my roots because that's where I thrive at. You know, when we fought MMA with no gloves, when we were doing Lethwei, Burmese kickboxing, bare knuckle, fighting bare knuckle in Russia. I mean, that's where I thrive. That's where I'm the best at. So bare knuckle boxing is right up my alley. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Now, what about pay there? They must pay substantially or pay pretty well because, again, I see a lot of people – you know, Joe Riggs, Cody McKenzie,
other fighters going
over there and fighting.
I literally sent Josh Burns, Joe Riggs, Melvin Gillard, and myself. I got everyone connected to Joe Brown over in London with UBAD, which is BKB, Bare Knuckle Boxing Association over there. I was under contract to fight Bobby Gunn, and he chickened out. Never happened. He was supposed to be the king of the gypsies, best bare-knuckle boxer in the world, ranked number one. You know, I got inducted to the Bare Knuckle Boxing Hall of Fame last year. Again, you know, I'm ranked number two in the world, number one in the U.S. So I'm ready to go. Substantial pay, yeah, they pay really good over there. They pay better than I've gotten paid probably in the last 10 years. These guys are paying good money. So it's
wow.
A lot of fun.
That's good. I'm really, really happy for you. I can't wait to see this happen. When I spoke to you a few years ago, you said that one of your goals was to fight for one of the major organizations here in the United States. And you've got, of course, Bellator, the UFC, the Legacy Fighting Alliance, and whatnot. Do you still have goals of fighting for any one of those organizations?
Man, you know, I obviously wouldn't turn it down. I'd love to fight in one of the bigger shows, especially UFC, just so I could say I fought in all the big major shows. I mean, a lot of people don't know, but I fought in Strikeforce. I fought in K1, fought in Pancras, fought in K1, fought in Pride, fought King of the Cage. I mean, I fought literally every show there is except, you know, Bellator and UFC. So it is what it is, you know. If they don't want to have me fight, you know, there's still other organizations that do. They still call me to fight. You know, like I said, I'm on my end of my years, man. I'm 47 years old, still fighting. You know, I'm trying to pull a Randy Couture out here and go win my last couple fights. But, you know, I still have some fights left in me.
Well, listen, you're definitely a Hall of Famer, definitely somebody that's done a lot for the sport. Fought, how many fights have you had?
228, but who's counting?
Yeah.
Come on, I got over 100 wins. You know, Sure Dog's wrong. They still don't have my record right, but it's okay. They had me fighting, first fight in 1998. We all know I first started fighting in 1991. So there has been several years there were no fights counted. Even recently, you know, there's some fights I had in Mexico that weren't on record. You know, they get finally Sure Dog picked them up and put a couple on. But, you know, some of these organizations don't supply the record. You know, they don't call in to Sure Dog.
Right.
To Tapology and, you know, record it. So, you know, some of the fights don't get recorded. I know it's not just me. There's a ton of guys out there that have way more fights than they're supposedly getting. You just asked me if I wanted to fight in a big organization, and I do. But there's a guy out there that needs recognition. His name's Tony Lopez. The guy's like on a 14 fight win streak. He's beating all the heavyweights. He's out there collecting belts. Hell, I fought him and he beat me, you know, Combat Americas. Tony Lopez is a guy that needs to be in the UFC. And, you know, it's just a shame that, you know, Dana White and, you know, I would say Joe Silva, but he's not there anymore. But, you know, these guys, the Sean Shelby's, they don't give Tony Lopez a look, man. And this guy could definitely be, wrecking some guys in the UFC. And I just wish he would get his opportunity.
Yeah, we've had Tony on the show before. I definitely agree with you. He's somebody that fights quite often. And, you know, with the new Dana White shows, Dana White looking for a fight in the Contender Series, I'm really surprised that we haven't seen Tony on one of these shows. Maybe we will in the future. You know, I'm still holding out hope.
Well, I talk to guys, and the thing is they don't want to take a guy who's a veteran. They want to look for these up-and-coming guys that are unknown, you know, your guys like, you know, Sage Northcutt that nobody knew about, and then finally he gets his shot and, you know, he becomes a superstar. Those are the guys they're looking for. They're not looking for these older guys that are veterans that have been around the sport for 20 years. You know, they're looking for these new guys. But it's just a shame. You know, it's a shame that Tony never got a shot.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Are you going to be going to the UFC? The UFC is running in Arizona, I think, in another few weeks or so with the main event.
The fight is April 14th, and that's actually the night that I'm in China. So I'll be fighting on April 14th, and the guys here in Phoenix will be fighting April 14th. So, I won't be here. I'll miss it. But Justin Gaethje is the main event.
Yeah, that's right. And he's fighting Poirier, and that should be a good fight. So, listen, in any event, it's good catching up with you. I appreciate you calling in, and it's great to see that you're still fighting and doing so much, contributing to the sport. We thank you very much for everything you do. Do you want to give out any sponsors or any websites before we wrap it up, Shannon?
No, man, just let everyone know that, you know, that are listening out there that if you have a JIT school, you know, a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school, look, I'm a third-degree black belt Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I just won No-Gi Worlds and Gi Worlds in Los Angeles. Look, I would love to come out and do some seminars and show some guys, up-and-coming guys, even black belts. You know, I got a bunch of stuff that I can teach and show, and, you know, I just do seminars. But, you know, canonbjj.net. CanonBJJ.net. Look me up, man, and I'll be more than happy to come show some stuff at your school.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Shannon. Good luck in your upcoming
fights. All right,
fights.
Man, you have a good
one. Come talk to us soon. Thank you, man. Take care.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye. All right. That was Shannon the Cannon Rich here on Carson's Corner. Really appreciate him coming in, and I appreciate you listening to the program. This has been Carson's Corner with Bob Carson. If you want to friend me on Facebook, you can at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. Also, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. And make sure to listen to us here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner. Every Monday, I have my political show with Chris Driscoll. It is Carson's Corner with the Election Boycott Advocates. That's Monday from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. And check this channel out for my MMA show, my award-winning MMA show, folks, which hopefully will be given to you each week with a new guest, if not new blazing, much-needed commentary in a sea of shills, folks, in a sea of people like Luke Thomas, Luke Thomas, and you know, these other shills, these other panty waists, just to scuff pencil necks, I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say. Pencil necks. They're no Bob Carson. They're no Eddie Goldman, that's for sure. All right, thanks a lot, ladies and gentlemen. And until next time, show some respect.